We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 201. It's a big episode, Scott, because Giancarlo Stanton is now a New York Yankee. Just 5 days ago, Aaron Boone was announced as the manager, and then boom, Stanton news. It's a busy couple weeks for Yankees fans and everything in the Bronx.
Yeah, absolutely. Things came out of nowhere. There was a first quiet bit of the offseason to start. Really not much was going on. It seems like everybody was just kind of accumulating, getting all their stuff ready, and then boom. Cashman hit us with a whole bunch of stuff at once. The Stanton stuff is ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. We have Murderer's Row. I can't freaking wait to watch these guys. Batting practice is going to be a spectacle. The team is unbelievable at this point.
So how are you feeling 24 hours after the news comes down?
I'm good. I'm happy. I mean, how could you not be? I don't really care about the money. I'm not a fan that's like so involved with the contracts and the money at this point, because again, I'm a fan of watching baseball and watching my team do well. It's not my money to be really worried about. It's not like the Yankees are going to be like sitting on the sidelines because of a contract is going to be debilitating them down the road. It just doesn't work out that way. They just figure it out later. And if he's not something that's helping the team in like 7 or 8 years, like, okay, we'll deal with it then. But right now we have freaking Giancarlo Stanton smack in the middle of Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge, and then the other cast of characters around them, and the team and the offense is stupid good.
So your opinion has not really changed much since we did that Facebook Live episode Saturday afternoon.
No, not at all. I'm pumped up.
Still riding high, still riding the glow of Giancarlo Stanton coming to the Bronx. And I don't blame you, because like you said, it's going to be freaking exciting. So here's the deal for this episode. Maybe some of you guys already listened to the half hour Scott and I did on Facebook Live Saturday afternoon immediately after the Stanton news broke. That video is still on our Facebook page at Bronx Pinstripes. Just search it. It'll be one of the first thing that pops up on that page. But we're going to edit that into the first half of this podcast. So you're going to get our gut reaction Saturday afternoon. We had just found out who the Yankees actually traded for Stanton at the point when we were recording that. But then after that's done, Scott and I are going to do this in about 2 minutes, but we're going to get into all of the Aaron Boone press conference stuff, some mailbags. We have voicemails at the end of the show, so it's going to be definitely a busy episode.
If you held a gun to my head right now and you said, who are the two prospects that you traded for Giancarlo Stanton, I would not be able to tell you.
Well, you could scroll down about four lines in our notes and see that it's Jorge Guzman and Jose Devers.
If I wasn't staring at their names, I would never be able to tell you their names, which makes it so much more amazing of a trade.
They're so far away from the big leagues that you're not even going to care when they finally do make it to the big leagues.
Right. And I do believe a little bit of the fact that this Devers kid was involved, we didn't talk about this, is a little, it's just a tiny bit of trolling by Brian Cashman saying that they got Stanton for Devers' cousin and they got rid of Devers. It's a little bit of trolling, I think. A little bit of a Dombrowski shot.
A lot of people are around the league saying that the Yankees stole Stanton for basically nothing. Obviously, it's the money. The money is the reason they got him. Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner saying, yes, we will take on that $295 million. That is the number one reason and pretty much the only reason why he's in pinstripes.
Oh, yeah. There was a salary dump. It was like an NBA trade with like expiring contracts. It felt more like an NBA trade than it did a Major League Baseball trade.
Yeah,
the whole thing was strange the way it went down and why it went down. Especially with who was involved with Jeter and obviously the Yankees. So, you know, another thing we haven't talked about, because the more things have come up and I'm just reading people's reactions. And a lot of these are just people who are just completely bitter and salty and hating on the whole thing. They're like, oh my God, collusion. Jeter yes. came to the Yankees and gave them a sweetheart of a deal. Well, first of all, you're forgetting the fact that they already had two separate deals ready to go with San Francisco and St. Louis, and Stanton nixed them. He didn't approve them because he has full control of that. So it's not like the Yankees deal was their first option or their first choice. It wasn't. It clearly wasn't. They had to go.
It was the best option on the table after they were already held with their hands tied behind their back.
Yeah. So the fact that people are like saying that Jeter Clue, like, did it help at the end once they were sitting down and like, okay, we have to make a deal? Probably. But it would never have come down to that if Stanton had, you know, said okay to San Francisco or St. Louis. So it's a moot point with the collusion thing because it's just a bunch of bullshit. It doesn't make any sense.
Definitely agree. Before we get into the segment with about the Stanton podcast, I want to tell you guys about Sleep Number. When it comes to holiday gifts, what could be better than giving the gift of better sleep? Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed but thought that you couldn't afford one. But who can't afford a good night's sleep? Great news, Sleep Number beds are comfortable, adjustable, and now they are affordable with queen mattresses starting at just $899.99. So you're getting a kick-ass night's sleep for under $900. They're smart, effortless, and comfortable. Did you know 9 out of 10 couples disagree on mattress firmness? So the Sleep Number bed lets you choose your local comfort and support on each side so you can find one that's good for you and good for your partner. Now Sleep Number beds are even more affordable with the special financing options for 48 months on all beds, including the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds, now through December 18th with a Sleep Number credit card. Subject to credit approval and minimum monthly payments required, ask store for details. And if you go into a Sleep Number store, they have 550 nationwide locations. Tell them Bronx Pinstripes sent you. Okay, let's get into some Stanton talk.
Hey, yo, to me, freedom is the feeling of an ocean breeze. East Coast, North Carolina, got a potent steeze. From the oak leaves out to the open sea. See it like oak leaves, then I let it go with ease.
Let's talk about the Yankees acquiring Giancarlo Stanton. It's truly evil empire fashion the way this deal went down. Went to bed last night, rumors started swirling. The Yankees are in on Stanton. I honestly didn't think it was going to happen even last night. I saw some people tweeting that it's still the Dodgers or the leading candidate. Wake up this morning, a deal is pretty much done, just needs to be finalized. And now we pretty much know all the details of it. Starlin Castro, our boy Castro, going down to Miami, along with Jorge Guzman and Jose Devers, two low-level prospects, not even high-level prospects.
Yeah, those aren't the good ones. Those aren't the good ones that we were expecting to be included in this deal. I think everybody was expecting someone big to be named.
I honestly thought I was sort of going in my mind with the conspiracy theory where they were saying no high-level prospects were going to Miami. And because Clint Frazier is no longer technically a prospect because he served too much time in the majors, I thought, okay, that's how they're getting around this. They're not calling him a prospect anymore. But the only major leaguer going is Castro. That sucks. We're going to get into losing Castro. That's definitely going to be an impact on the team. But every other non-Yankees fan, all the haters out there are so butthurt because the Yankees basically got Stanton for just money.
Yeah, it's just money and time. I mean, the time is the big deal. I think the money is almost like a secondary factor of the fact that he'll be on the team for 10 years. And I know that everybody...
Long-ass time.
It's a long time. And everybody keeps, you know, there's a lot of people referring back to the A-Rod trade, and we've just dealt with that. I mean, we literally just stopped paying this man. And
the parallels are crazy, though. It is very similar
in the
whole situation.
Yep, all-star second baseman as well. Soriano was the guy. Now we got Castro in the deal. It's eerie the way that it went down for that. But, you know, the time frame is, I think when A-Rod got traded, he was, 31? I believe he was 31. If you look at a lot of these big mega contracts, the guys that have signed these 10-year deals.
No, he was 31 when they signed him again in 2007.
That was the reload?
When they traded, so he would have been 28-ish.
So some of these... I think that's what I saw. The long-term, 10-year contracts, a lot of these were given to guys at age 30 and plus. When you're looking at the Pujols, Cano, and start going down the line with those, we're getting Stanton for the 10 years at 28. You know, some would say that that's a better thing, but
listen,
he's still going to be an old man, and he's still going to be playing for the Yankees.
The contract is the only reason not to like this deal,
right?
Because just for on the field for 2018 and the foreseeable future, that lineup is fucking stacked. It is scary with Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Didi, Bird, all in the middle of that lineup. Those are all 30 homer guys, but that's the minimum is 30 homers. Didi is the 30 homer guy. Then you go to Bird, also a 30 homer guy. Hopefully if he can play a full season, I'm crossing my fingers. I'm not going to jinx him this year, I promise. Sanchez is a 35, 40 homer guy. And then Stanton and Judge are the 50 homer plus dudes. I mean, the Yankees already led the league in home runs last year. 241 home runs. I looked it up this morning. They hit 241 home runs last year. And they're adding a guy who hit 59 of them. It's ridiculous.
every single person, every single pitcher in the American League is just rolling their eyes right now and
oiling,
shaking, scared to death, because they literally have a modern day murderer's row now in Yankee Stadium. And not to mention, I mean, look, the ballparks that Stanton's going to be playing in too, in the American League East, like the ball flies out of Yankee Stadium. The ball flies out of Fenway. The ball flies out of Baltimore. These are places where those home runs are still going to tick up.
Fenway.
That's what I said. I said Fenway.
Said Fenway.
There's the home runs are going to be, it's stupid when you think about the numbers that are possible for these guys, the level of protection for each player. You don't even know who to attack anymore because everybody around you is an all-star or murders the ball. It's a problem for everybody else. It's not a problem for the Yankees when they're playing, though.
It's exciting. It's exciting to think what the 2018 Yankees are going to be. A lot of young kids. All the young kids are coming back. That's the real key here. Is they losing Castro? It hurts for the brief short term. I mean, I think the Yankees are putting a lot of trust in Gleyber Torres. Everyone's saying Gleyber Torres now is going to be the starting second baseman. He still needs to prove himself. He not only needs to prove himself that he's healthy, but he needs to actually prove himself on a major league field. But everyone, he's the number one prospect in baseball, so the chances of that happening are good. So that's awesome. But the fact that they didn't have to give up any of the other young players on this team to get him. So this is all just additions, which is why it's so exciting. It's now an embarrassment of riches in the outfield. I mean, Judge,
Stanton. There's a lot of decisions to be made for that outfield. There's going to be a lot of juggling. Aaron Boone, his first job is not only to just look around and just like, how the hell did I get here? How the hell did a guy just take this team from one game of the World Series, get fired or let go or whatever, not resigned, and then we get the National League MVP? It's like, he's the luckiest man on the face of the planet.
I think I was reading where the last time that the AL and NL home run kings came together the following season when they led the league, it was 1975. So this doesn't happen all the time.
Don't forget that if Giancarlo Stanton coming in is, we're talking about the second baseman because Castro is leaving. Torres, there's a lot of pressure going to be on Torres, I think, just to get up there. But we have Ronald Torres as well, who has proved to be a guy who can go in there and play and at least platoon if he needs to. If Torres isn't ready in the very beginning, Torres could definitely play there. We saw what he did when Didi was hurt. He stepped in and played really well for the first month.
Couple weeks. He's fine for a couple weeks. But the Yankees, the plan, Cashman already said this a couple weeks ago, that the plan for Gleyber Torres in spring training was for him to compete for the third base job.
Right.
So now he's competing. Now he's got a, it's almost like the second base job is his to lose. But as long as he is looking healthy and shows it, he had a good spring training last year. So if he has another good spring training, I mean, he's definitely the opening day second baseman. I don't think there's really any question about that.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. He would have to face plant. There would have to be some significant reason why he wasn't going to be that guy. Because the beauty about him coming up right now as well and going into that second base spot, it's not as new of a position as third base was, so that's good. So he's a lot more comfortable, I'd say, in the field at second base. I mean, he's played up the middle for the majority of his life.
And it's an easier transition.
It's an easier transition. And then also, he's got like no pressure to perform offensively. No. There is some pressure because of who he is and what level of prospect he is. But look around and you're seeing the guys around him. He's not dependent on for any kind of offensive production. Like anything that he does right now, he's going to be hitting 8 or 9 in the order. Anything that he does is gravy.
Yeah, everyone was constructing their dream lineup with Stanton in the middle of it. And no matter how you shuffle around the top 5 or 6 guys, Gleyber Torres is going to be batting 8 or 9. So pressure on Gleyber Torres is going to be pretty low.
Absolutely.
All the headlines were already going to be on Aaron Judge because Aaron Judge is the most marketable and the most popular player in baseball coming out of the 2017 season. But add in Stanton to New York, to that New York media market, I mean, it's going to be insane. Gleyber Torres is going to be able to walk around and no one's even going to know who he is.
Yeah. There's going to be two giants that everybody's going to be looking at. It's going to be Aaron Judge and Mike Stanton. I kind of want him to bring back Mike. I feel like every time I'm referring to him,
There was already a Mike Stanton in New York.
Yeah, that's right. A lefty middle reliever that'll have a job forever. This Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, how do you think that Aaron Judge feels about this whole thing? Because Aaron Judge was the it guy. He was a very significant it guy for the fact that he hits a whole bunch of home runs. He's a big dude. And now all of a sudden there's the NL MVP coming in, also the home run king. very similar stature, like kind of similar players.
They look alike.
There's a lot of, like, they both could play tight end. The Giants could use them. The Jets could both use them. Like, I think there's a little bit of like, wait a minute. This is my show. Yeah. He'll never say it, but he's thinking it.
I have to imagine he's thinking it. Like you said, he will never say it. He will say all the right things. Kind of goes back to the Jeter A-Rod thing in 2004. Jeter had already been there and won World Series. So it was a different scenario. And Stanton can more easily play DH or left field and not have to, we don't have to have this whole thing about how we had, A-Rod should be the shortstop, not Jeter. There's not going to be any sort of that shit going on. But I totally agree with you. It actually, I think, kind of hurts Judge's marketability because he's no longer
that guy.
He's no longer the only guy on the most popular team. He is one of, like you see, they basically got a carbon copy. They have two of them now.
You're gonna see a lot of tandem marketing opportunities now with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
Bash
you're gonna
Brothers,
see them doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like you said, Judge is never gonna say anything because he's too nice of a guy, and. Maybe he did. Do you think he maybe is saying, "Okay, cool. I don't need to be the guy anymore. I don't need all this pressure in my life."
I mean, it seems like it doesn't affect him one way or the other, but I got to believe there's people in his ear and he's also thinking about after what he saw last year and what he did with all of that attention, there's got to be some part of him is like, you know, wait a minute. This could potentially be something that's taken away from me. But at the same time, like this is a guy that's adding to the roster that's going to elevate the team, which in retrospect will also elevate them and make them a better a team. And if he starts winning championships, like his legacy will be cemented. But he's got to win championships for that to happen.
Okay, so what are the Yankees going to do with this outfield? Judge, Stanton, Hicks, Gardner, Ellsbury, and Clint Frazier is still on the team as well. That's six outfielders for three spots. And obviously you have the DH spot, but something needs to budge here.
Yeah. So we have, it works out very nicely that the winter meetings start this week and Brian Cashman's going to be going in as like the lauded guy with a new 5-year deal. He's going to go in as the GM of the year, just got Stanton for, a good deal, not giving up anybody. And he's going to say, hey guys, guess what? I got a whole bunch of prospects, a really crowded outfield. What do you guys want to give me? And I have a feeling that Brian Cashman is going to be going around and looking for pitching because I think that a guy like Clint Frazier at this point, like, where's he going now? Where's he playing? Because I don't see a spot anymore.
I tweeted out earlier today that I expect either Jacoby Ellsbury or Clint Frazier to be off the team. You're going to have to pay Jacoby Ellsbury to go away. They tried to get rid of him in this Stanton deal. Jeter was not going to bail out the Yankees like that much, okay? Jeter's not stupid, okay? He was hamstrung by this this whole situation. I think he handled it poorly. The whole Marlins handled it poorly, where they organized trades with the Cardinals and the Giants before they actually got an okay from Stanton that he would waive his no-trade clause. And then when he nixed those deals to the Giants and the Cardinals, the Marlins are put into a quarter.
Now what do we do? Yeah.
And then Stanton comes out and says, yeah, I'll approve a trade to the Yankees, the Astros, the Cubs, or the Dodgers. The four teams who were in the championship series for their leagues last year.
Stanton handled it perfectly. Stanton handled it the best way to do it because he took back all the leverage. He got everything. He basically was a free agent at that point because now you're negotiating and you're determining where you're going to go.
But it screwed the Marlins because
you're right. The way you're saying it, they handled it, but I don't even think it's just for the way that they orchestrated those trades and had those in place before they got the okay from Stanton, but they made it so well known even before the trades were there that this is what we're doing. We're scalping the team. We're scalping the payroll so that we can get under Giancarlo Stanton's going to be traded. Like it was the narrative for the past 2 weeks.
That's fine though. That's all fine. As long as you can have a handful of teams out there, more than four teams, bidding for a guy here, like I believe the deals they got from the Giants and the Cardinals were better as far as prospects go than what they got from the Yankees. It was
money.
And also that Stanton didn't want to okay the trade. But once Stanton says, I only want to go to these four teams, then the Marlins have a list of four teams they can contact. And the Yankees are sitting there saying, well, now we're in the driver's seat. We can make a low ball offer. We don't need to make an over-the-top insane offer to get this guy. And that's exactly what Cashman did. A contingency of it all, though, for the Yankees was we need to shed payroll. We can't just take on Stanton and it's $295 million because we want to get under that luxury tax. So one of the major league players that was making big money had to go. That's why Castro is gone.
You know, it's interesting the way it happened too. I was calling on Twitter, I'm calling Cashman a wizard, because I think the way that this guy does these deals and how he manipulates the payroll is just fascinating, and it's so high level. I mean, the way that they're doing it too, this deal had to, the only way this deal was going to happen, in my opinion, was that Cashman and the Yankees were still going to get under that threshold. That was such a priority, so that restarted, so that they had money that was opened up and they weren't wasting on taxes, the luxury tax that they were getting rid of. That was essential. If they couldn't do that, I don't think this deal would have been done. The way that it was restructured and the $30 million, there's so many reports now about how much money's out there and what that. So Joel Sherman was tweeting and reporting on a lot of it, so we'll use his numbers for this conversation. But there was about $30 million that's going to be given back to the Marlins are going to be giving the Yankees so that they can offset that cost. And what that does is it knocks it down to about $22-23 million per year for Stanton. That's exactly
not per year, because his contract goes up later in the contract.
For the first year, I'm sorry, for the luxury tax to get under that threshold.
2018, yeah.
And what it does is it basically is giving you what the Yankees last year paid for Matt Holliday and Starlin Castro. You're getting Gleyber Torres and Giancarlo Stanton. And they're still in a position to get under that tax threshold.
Because when you remove A-Rod's numbers and then remove, or if you're also getting CeCe off the books. And even if they re-sign CeCe, it's going to be for half or 60% of what he was making before. It is still possible to get under the 197 luxury tax number.
And you got to believe that I still think there's more moves going to be made. I think this was, I think this big move is going to definitely spur on other moves. I think things have to be done to make room, obviously, for money wise. And then just personnel wise, it's just, there's something going on with the personnel. Like, unless somebody is saying they're going to DH the majority of the time, which I'd be surprised.
That doesn't even work because you have too many outfielders.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if Stanton said, okay, I'll DH? What if he said that?
Well, he is going to DH.
But be the DH.
Okay, but then you still have two backup outfielders.
Well, you're talking about Clint Frazier still.
Yeah.
I still think Clint Frazier's going to start off in AAA, even if Stanton wasn't here.
We were having this conversation with what are the Yankees going to do to clear some room in the outfield before they even acquired Stanton.
I know. And now we have another guy. I mean, it's not a bad problem. It's a good problem to have,
but it is a problem.
It's an issue. It's something that's going to be resolved.
So the way I was sort of working it out in my head is that Judge is going to be the starting right fielder with Stanton as a part-time right fielder. Hicks will be the starting center fielder. And then Gardner can shift over from left to play backup center field. Gardner, if he's still on the team, will be the starting left fielder with Stanton as the backup left fielder and Stanton as the starting DH. So Stanton will DH out of 7 days a week. He'll DH four of them and then play the outfield, either left field or right field, three times. And then when he's in the field, you can move Judge or Gary Sanchez or somebody else to the DH spot. So it's going to sort of be like a rotating schedule where, yes, if we're putting Stanton at a position, it will be DH. But he's not going to be DHing 160 games a year. He'll DH 100 games a year, play the field 50, 60 games a year.
You know, moving Stanton from right field to left field, especially at Yankee Stadium, is not a super easy task. I mean, left field is not the easiest place to play at Yankee Stadium. And
he's played left field plenty in his career.
Has he? Because I thought I was saying that the majority of the time he's been playing right field, all right field.
I'm gonna look it up.
Okay, because I think he's majority right field. I was watching MLB Network a couple hours ago, and they were talking about both of these guys were a lot right field. So I think there's going to be some interesting log jams when we're talking about the positioning as far as them moving around. But if Hicks is the starting center fielder, Gardner does have the flexibility to move around, and it's going to be good for all of these guys, because honestly, at some point, Stanton and Judge and now Gardner, the way that they play and how big these guys are, having some time at DH is not a bad thing early in their career. It's really not. You're taking some load off of their legs. You're extending their health a bit so that they're not getting as much playing time in the field and getting banged up. Because we saw what happened at the end of the year with Judge running into the wall, had issues with his shoulder. These things are going to happen. Big dudes are going to get injured even more.
He has never played one inning in left field.
That's what I thought. So two right fielders.
How did I not know that? This changes my – I don't know if you can – I mean, I think he could play. I think he's capable of it. It's not like going to both. It's not like going from right field to center field. Right field to left field, I think, is doable.
Yeah, but left field at Yankee Stadium is not an easy place to play. It's just, it's not. It's and it's different. Look, going from right field to left field too, there's totally different spins on the ball. It's a transition. There's no doubt. It's a significant transition.
Okay, well, I'm confident he can do it.
Okay, because it doesn't matter. Because he has to.
Because he has to do it. Because the Yankee Cashman has put this roster in a position where they have a trillion outfielders and they all need to get playing time because they're all star caliber players.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But Stanton.
This deal, like, I don't know why personally, like, I would be totally fine and love if Stanton were just the DH. Why don't we just make him the DH? Why not? And then he can go into right field occasionally when Judge needs a day off or when Judge is the DH. Why can't we make Mike, or I would keep calling him Mike. Why can't Giancarlo Stanton be the designated hitter?
Stick to Stanton. He can, and maybe he will be. But I do think that the Yankees want to utilize that DH spot to also get Judge in there more, get Sanchez in there more, Bird. Like, you still have value in that DH spot by giving guys half days off, especially Judge. We've talked about this a lot, where Judge, his body is going to wear down. Like, you need to get him some DH time.
And that works out beautifully because Stanton can play right field.
It's not going to be a platoon, but it's going
to
be.
They can, I know, but he can slot in there when Judge does need to go out and 80-20? Take a day off. Maybe, I don't know. If he could play left field, that makes things a hell of a lot easier. But that's right now a big if. It's a big circled if. We've seen how some guys have gone to the outfield from different spots and just not played as well. It's going to be something that we'll have to look at in spring training. When he's getting the reps, where he's getting the reps. It's going to be one of those things that we're definitely going to have to circle.
So I think, Ellsbury, you're going to have to pay him to go away. If Ellsbury's not on this team next year, the Yankees are going to have to put him on waivers. No one's going to pick him up. And then they're going to basically cut him, and he can go sign wherever he wants, but they're going to have to pay 100% of his contract. I think that is the only way they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah, they have to. And the reason is, well, that he's got a no-trade clause as well, so you can't get rid of him to a place that he doesn't want to go. There were talks about that if he did go to the Marlins would potentially cut him and then he would have a choice to go somewhere. That didn't happen. Obviously they didn't want to take on the money. This is going to be, he's going to be the elephant in the room the entire time, or he's just going to sit there and he's going to be taking up a spot doing nothing. He's going to be a pinch runner like he was at the end of the year. He's going to be a ridiculously overpaid pinch runner, and he's not even that great runner anymore. It's like his legs, his best asset are depleting. They're going away. So what is he now? He's nothing.
And he's not even a defensive replacement because he has no arm.
He's got no arm. Yeah, exactly. It's like Johnny Damon out there throwing the ball. He's a problem. And to me, like I was talking about before, like even before Stanton was a thing and he was on the Yankees and he was talked about being traded for, I still wanted them to just get rid of Ellsbury and just call it bad debt, get rid of it. You're paying him anyway. Is it worse that he's off the team or is it worse that he's on the team? I'd argue that he's
like an A-Rod. It's an A-Rod situation.
Exactly.
Not that Ellsbury
not as much, but.
Ellsbury's not a circus like A-Rod.
He's not a lightning rod, yeah.
He's still taking up a valuable roster spot.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. That's the thing. So is it worse to have him gone? You're paying him either way.
If you trade Clint Frazier for some pitching, which I think is now totally in play, then I don't see them getting rid of Ellsbury because he's insurance. If someone goes down with an injury and he's a fourth outfielder, like you said, pinch runner, plays once or twice a week. It's expensive, but that's what he will be. But if they don't trade Clint Frazier, then you just have a guy who's ready for the majors playing in the minors, and you can't have that.
It's also a guy that's ready for the majors that won't play very often in the majors. So do you want him to be getting full-time reps and playing every day, improving his craft in AAA, or sitting on the bench as a fourth outfielder, not getting much spot because there's so much rotation that's happening? Yeah, fourth or fifth, he'd be a fifth outfielder even. Like, I don't know what you do with him at that point.
Yeah, as we're talking through this, they pretty much are...
They have to trade
Clint Frazier.
Yeah.
And that sucks in a sense because we were excited about Frazier. But they just got Giancarlo Stanton. Like, shit happens.
When you're looking at the Stanton deal too, and you're talking about like everybody's like, oh, it's a 10-year deal, you're gonna be paying all this amount of money. What is it, $295 million for him? So one of the big reasons, obviously, they're going under the threshold was for the big free agent class coming next year. And those are the guys of Machado and Bryce Harper. Okay, so just think about that for a second. We got one of those guys, basically, a year earlier and about $100 million cheaper. That's what happened because Bryce Harper's going to what, $400 million they're talking. I mean, the numbers were stupid, like 500, but go back down to 350, 400. I think that's very, very feasible. I think that's probably going to
350.
Fine. 350. You're getting him at a discount.
10 year, 350.
It's going to be about that. So you're looking at a guy you're getting a year earlier. You don't have to, there's no bidding war for it.
Older.
He's a little older. How much? Not a couple years. How old's Harper? 20. Actually, he's really young, isn't he? He's like 24, 23, 24. Anyway, he's youngest. So you're getting an older guy. But you know, it's something to consider. They're doing it a year earlier or not too. And it's with a Yankees team that's ready to win right now.
Harper's 25. So he'll be 26 when he's a free agent.
So 2 years.
Well, that is significant because they're going to be paying Stanton until he's 38 years old,
but they're ready to win now. So they're worried about right now.
Sure.
when is then now?
Let's talk about the contract real quick. We've sort of already touched on a little bit, but obviously the Marlins are going to be eating $30 million of it. Stanton has an opt-out clause after 2020. He can opt out after that season. That's his age 30 season. After that, his money actually goes up $29 million a year for a couple years, then $32 million a year, and then all the way down in 2028. 2028, that sounds like a fake date. 2028, the Yankees will have a decision where they could pick up an option or they could buy him out for $10 million. So I honestly don't see Stanton walking away from all that cash in his 30s.
It's a lot of money, and there's a lot of time between now and then to see what happens with him. But he could put up some very gaudy numbers at Yankee Stadium. He could actually improve his value if you look at who he's hitting around. And it's not to say, who knows where the market is at that point in 2 years to see where, you know, how much money he get. I think next year will dictate quite a bit. Next year's free agent class will dictate what is going to be, projected for what Stanton could get in 2020. And I think when he sees those numbers and they're getting, you know, more than what he would get for the duration of his contract, then you're potentially looking at him opting out. But I think a lot will be said next year when those contracts are finalized.
And this is also a guy with injury history. Last year was his first like really fully healthy breakout season.
Yeah.
And he was a beast.
Right.
So, but this is a guy that has not been healthy his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those considerations. Everybody, they're talking about the physical has to happen and all that. I mean, these are things that have to happen still. I don't see any problem with that. I don't think someone was talking about like a freaking football injury from high school. Seriously, this guy's going to pass the physical. He's going to get it. And hey, if he's at DH, I like it even better because he's protecting himself a little bit more.
Can you though imagine if he opts out after his 2020, after the 2020 season, the Yankees get him for 3 years. He puts up his 150 home runs in 3 years. Yankees maybe win a championship. Brian Cashman says, thank you very much, Giancarlo. Go on your way to free agency.
Peace.
I mean, that is the ideal situation, I think, right now.
Oh, no doubt. And because if you think about what's going to be potentially going on in 2 years, you're getting a lot of our guys who were rookies last year, who were second year guys. These guys are really going to be hitting their stride at that point. And you have that bat, you're not going to be paying for it at that point because contracts for Judge and Sanchez, those are going to be starting to be talked about at that point. They're going to have to be extended, once their rookie deals are up. So that's a big deal. I mean, think about how much money is going to be on their books if Stanton does not opt out. He's still there. And then they have to go and like, oh, we have to go re-sign Judge and Sanchez.
Yep.
And Severino. And all like we're looking at all of these
Gleyber Torres, like all these Didi.
There's a lot of very good players on this team that will be on their next payday looking for a ton of money.
Yeah. Bird.
Yeah. Well, can we get through a couple of weeks, please?
The couple of fun numbers that I saw being thrown around on Twitter, Judge, Sanchez and Didi. Judge, Sanchez, Didi and Stanton out homered like 3/4 of the teams in baseball last year, including the Red Sox.
It's I don't even know what to say. There's not even words to speak about how many home runs are going to be hit at Yankee Stadium. You thought the advantage at home was good last year? Like now we got another guy who hits 50 to 60 home runs. Like they're going to be scoring average 8 to 12 runs a game at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, at Yankee Stadium, yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's going to be stupid. They're not selling tickets to the freaking batting practice.
Even if they're not scoring, the just gauntlet of a lineup that opposing pitchers are going to have to deal with, where you're having tough at bats 1 through 9, that shortens starts for opposing teams, that gets into the bullpen early. So even when you're not scoring, just having to go through Judge, Sanchez, Stanton, Didi, Bird, that mental grind of a starting pitcher, like that is almost unquantifiable on how much value that's going to bring to the Yankees season next year.
Yeah, that's a lot. There's going to be a different mindset, I think, when you're coming into Yankee Stadium now with the bats that are in the middle of that lineup. There's nowhere to wait. You can't take a guy off. You can't take a pitch off. The amount of mental pressure on the starting pitchers now is, you got to believe that they're going to want to get up for that game, but damn. I mean, I think Marcus Stroman was tweeting about how he's saying, bring on the competition. I live for the biggest competition. All right, Stroman.
Because Yankees open the season in Toronto, so Stroman's going to be on the bump, opening up against all those, that gauntlet of a lineup. Good luck, bud.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of guys that are swallowing right now a little bit deeper.
You know, so the Yankees are acquiring the National League Home Run King. Do you remember the last time the Yankees acquired the National League Home Run King?
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
1 year ago, Chris Carter.
Yeah, back-to-back NL Home Run Kings on the Yankees. Yeah, Chris
hopefully
Carter.
This one goes a little better.
Damn, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a strange stat. What are the when's the last time a team did that? Probably not very often. And the other guy was cut.
we talked about Judge when he was going through his shoulder injury this season, and we were just saying, like, why isn't he keeping his shoulder closed? Like, look at Stanton, he's sort of the model with the closed stance. Now those guys are going to be in the same locker room watching the same video. They're going to be batting practice back to back. We talked about sort of is Judge angry that upset that the spotlight is no longer solely on him. But what about the factor that these guys can feed off one another? They're the same body type. They're the same. They're the same approach at the plate. Let's hit the ball to center field, to right field, because we have power where we can hit it to the moon. So it doesn't matter if we go to center field. That's going to be awesome as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of takeaways that the two of those guys can kind of feed off of each other mechanically as well, because you're right, they have very similar swings. I think Stanton really did a lot of different stuff with his swing this year. He was a lot more closed off. His hands were inside the ball, like, really, really well. And Judge, when he was struggling, it seemed like he was, you know, out and trying to pull the ball too much and out on his front foot a little early. So I think these guys will definitely help each other out. I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic. They could take over the world, the two of these guys. They could take over the world. And we may see, I've heard people talking about Mantle and Maris with, reliving that. That's what we could be seeing, like two guys vying for a home run title. I mean, throw Sanchez in that mix too, because if he didn't miss a month, he would have been up there as far as the home runs. Like, these guys are going to put up unbelievably prolific numbers.
I believe Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton had the three longest home runs in 2017.
Oh, God.
It's insane.
I hope everybody is like, just turning off the negativity about this trade. Get over it. It's happening. Who cares? It's not your money. All you get to do is watch this happen. And we get to watch this happen. This is the team we watch every day. Now we get to watch Giancarlo Stanton in the mix of the team that we had last year.
I mean, get it, though. Come on. I get it. Because the Yankees have been going in a certain direction the last year and a half, where they're focusing on the minor league system. They're reducing payroll. They're not going after these just flashy big names with the huge contracts, because that is counterproductive. And Cashman has really stuck to that. And look where it got them. It got them to game 7 of the ALCS. And then boom, as soon as there's a Giancarlo Stanton out there on the trade hook that he's dangling in front of Cashman, he says, gimme, gimme, gimme. He can't say no. Just like what happened in 2004 with A-Rod. So I get why fans are upset. It totally makes sense.
It's a very different situation than what happened, though, with A-Rod, because this was something that fell into his lap. It's not like they were looking out.
So did A-Rod. So did A-Rod.
Kind of. A-Rod was a different story in that sense, though.
No, A-Rod was going to Boston, and then that deal fell through, and then the Rangers had to trade him because they had already traded him to Boston. Then they do this whole bullshit thing where they name him team captain, and then a week later he's traded to the Bronx. Like, he had to be traded. Cashman went to him and said, What do I have to do to get A-Rod from off your hands? And they paid $10 million of his contract. $10 million a year the Rangers were paying A-Rod in those first few seasons.
Yeah, they did pick up a good chunk of that. It's
a huge chunk.
It's Brian Cashman. We've always talked about how he does things and how he strikes when no one else is looking, or he's going after a guy that maybe had a down year but ended the season well, kind of like what he did with Castro at the end of that 1 year. He does this where he's in the weeds, waiting, and then he just strikes. And when he's ready to go, when an opportunity comes, he doesn't really let it go. And we're seeing what happened this time. He took advantage of it. I think it's a great deal. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, in you know, the end of that contract, I'm going to be complaining about the contract and like, why are we still paying this guy and rolling him out there? But hopefully we have a couple titles under our belt and we can look back and say, okay, well, this is what happened. He earned it at that point. This team succeeded at this point, and they did what they had to do, because that's the only expectation now is a World Series.
Right. If you win multiple championships, you can swallow the back end of the contract and not be so pissed off. The reason why I think a lot of fans were angry about all the expiring contracts was we only had one championship, the 2009 championship, of all those big name free agents. I mean, that was a great season, but we kind of felt like we didn't get the most out of that team.
Right. And I think we're a little different story in the sense that we have a lot of guys that are just coming into their own right now. It's a different team makeup. So this team is ready to go right now and on the cusp of doing very good things. Whereas you had some aging guys on those other teams, and it's a different feel in the clubhouse.
Final thing is just, did you see Didi's tweet where he tweeted at Boone saying, "Hey Skip, am I still going to be batting fourth with the Rock?" Like I raised tweet.
Right.
I love Didi. That's the reason why Didi's one of our favorite players, because he has that personality. But now you bring in Stanton, who's also one of the most marketable and personable players. Like, this team is going to be so much freaking fun to watch and follow.
No doubt. You bring a guy like Boone in, too, who's going to keep a very loose clubhouse. Didi, who's, he doesn't seem like he's ever serious unless there's a huge clutch situation and then he locks in. But the rest of the time, it's just, you know, footloose and I'm having fun playing baseball with my boys. And that's the vibe that's going to happen. It's a very good time to be a Yankee fan. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Someone tweeted me and he goes, "Can you believe 18 months ago you guys were talking about on the podcast how Refsnyder needs more playing time?"
Yeah, I know. He was the number one prospect in the system. He was like the guy ready to come up. And now it's, I mean, what a different world. What a different world. And it's all Cashman. All Cashman. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, so here's the deal. This is half the podcast. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about. We got to go through the entire Aaron Boone press conference because, believe it or not, Boone was announced as Yankees manager like less than a week ago. just so much news going on, so we're going to get to all that. We have a ton of mailbags to also discuss. And also, Ohtani, he signed with the Angels. What does that mean?
Who cares?
So we're going to get into that, too. So Scott and I are going to record that on Sunday afternoon. That'll be audio only. But you'll get a compilation of what we just did, plus all of the stuff we're going to talk about on Sunday on Monday's regular show. Sound good?
That's it. So for people on Facebook too, the podcast is available in iTunes on pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. If you go to iTunes, the Apple podcast, and just search for Yankees, you'll see us. We're the number one spot in there. And give us a subscribe and download to listen to the whole show. We, in the off season, we release once a week, usually on Monday releases. And then during the season, we do two shows a week, Monday and Wednesdays. So it's going to be a fun year. We're going to be doing this a lot more, doing live video. And we're going to be bringing people on. We have the ability to bring video callers on too. So we're going to be mixing that into the show so we can get a lot of you guys onto the show and hang out and do some more Yankees chatting about. So pumped
and
up.
Shout out to us. Shout out to us for actually doing the video this week.
Yeah, we actually recorded the video. This is good. I think we recorded the video. I don't even know if it's working
on Facebook. It's on Facebook Live, so that's good enough.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And exciting times to be a Yankees fan.
Let's go.
So one thing that I feel like, Scott, we did not do on the Facebook Live episode of the podcast was give Castro a final send-off. He was here for 2 years. It was a fun 2 years. He was the guy that came in after the black hole that was second base with Steven Drew and, Brian Roberts. And he was actually an all-star player. He comes in here and Cashman gets him for what we thought was a great deal, and it was, and he played well for the Yankees, and he sort of made that position relevant for them on the field again. But now he's heading to Miami. So the question really is, how are you going to remember our boy Starlin?
First of all, I feel bad for the dude because he got shipped out of Chicago right before they won a World Series. He's getting shipped out of New York right before they're like on the cusp of doing something very good. So I have a little bit of sympathy for the guy because it seems like he's just he's the one that keeps getting sent around, and I don't think he's going to end up in Miami. I think he's going to get dealt before he even puts their uniform on. They're going to try to get rid of that contract, so he's going to be somewhere else most likely. Hopefully he has an opportunity to play every day and do some good. I've always a Starlin Castro fan. I like him. I like the way he plays. I was excited when he came over. I got really not much bad to say about him. I know people crap on him because he really didn't have a great postseason, and the swinging and missing at the outside breaking ball was painful to watch sometimes. But that's what you get when you get a free swinger like this. The dude hit for average. He was an all-star. He was a good player.
He was a very solid player, and I think the playoffs are what people are going to remember because it's the last thing that we've seen of him. And you're right. He was swinging at everything. And I think that was just getting on people's nerves. Do you think that's a reason why the Yankees decided to move on for him? Or do you think it's more in the sense that they just needed to offload some money and they have some young players coming through that can push him out of a position?
Yeah, I think it was that too. But I also think it was the Miami looking at who was available for. So the two options most likely, or three options if you include Ellsbury, which sounded like it was off the table before it was on the table, were Headley and Castro. And what are you going to get a better return for? Castro, you're going to get a better return because Castro is a younger, better player than Chase Headley. So I think Miami really was agreeing to that as well because they know that they could flip him for something else as well and get rid of that contract before it even hits their books. So I think a lot of that was part of the consideration. So I think that's why his name was up there. But yeah, I mean, we know what the Yankees have with Gleyber Torres coming up. There's even Tyler Wade. If you're going to give him a shot in spring training, there's options right now in the middle infield, and Castro was expendable. I just don't think he deserves a lot of the criticism that he is getting right now because I think he was a very good player.
Yeah, agree. So there's also
and he was my first interview when I went to the winter warm-up. He was when I asked the question at that little press conference thing. He was my first question ever to a Yankees player in person, and he answered it. Mm. So he'll always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, you popped your cherry with Starlin Castro.
I did.
There's also a 2:00 press conference scheduled for Monday, probably pretty soon as you guys are listening to this podcast right now, obviously to introduce Stanton as a Yankee. And there was also some rumors, confirmed or unconfirmed, that he was in the building on Friday, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're confirmed. I heard that on Friday, and I started doing some digging, and the whole thing, so the timeline of this whole, like when it came out, is very interesting because he was there on Friday. So to me, when I'm thinking that, I'm like, why is he there? He's probably there to take a physical, do some final meetings. It sounds like a deal is done at this point. At least the framework of a deal was already done. I believe that. You saw Jim Larritz tweet something out early in the afternoon that it was a done deal. I actually got a hold of him and was just talking to him about where he was hearing things and what he was hearing. So it sounded like this deal was already done, even before all these media had leaked it and started talking more about it. It sounds like Brian Cashman was just like feeding the fish, basically, like a little bit of a time. Like, here, this is what's involved. Or you know, maybe we'll include a couple minor leaguers. Or
exactly, that was it. It was fine. It was crossing the T's and dotting the I's on who the minor league players were actually going to be. And then what was the money that the Marlins were going to pick up? And it ended up being $30 million, as we got into all of that on the first part of this podcast. So I think it was just small details that needed to be worked out. But that's why when we went to bed on Friday night, I guess I should have known that this was closer to happening than what I really thought.
Yeah, because usually when you know how Cashman works, he doesn't leak. Things don't get leaked very often from the Yankees front office unless they want it
to
happen.
They want it to be leaked. Yep.
Exactly. So, and that's what I believe. I really believe looking at this timeline, what happened was exactly that. You know, maybe there were some final details. He was probably there to do his physical and meet with the team, meet with Boone. Because if you saw the pictures, Boone was at their company party. The Yankees had a company party for the entire staff that they were sending Instagram pictures about too. Aaron Boone was in the building. He was there. He said something to everybody. So why was he there also? Why was he in New York? He's having meetings. Stanton was there. They were obviously meeting as well. So I think this deal was already done at that point. Stanton had already said, I think, before they even really got into this, that he would accept the trade. So I don't think Cashman really would have gone down the rabbit hole and you know, started talking dollars and cents if Stanton hadn't already, you know, said he would waive it. And we had heard that earlier, actually. I think we heard that, Wednesday or Thursday, that he said he would waive it to a number of teams. So it's interesting how this whole thing went down. It definitely is. I love hearing about how like all the back, you know, the back room deals get done. It's fascinating to me. So,
what do you think our Aaron Boone is thinking right now? Because a week ago he was an ESPN employee and now he's the manager of the New York Yankees. And it's a team that is now World Series or bust because they just added the National League MVP to a team that had the American League MVP runner up, plus all these other young kids, not to mention, you know, Bird, Sanchez, go down the list. I mean, this team is going to be the favorite in the American League next season. Aaron Boone went from ESPN booth to that in a matter of a week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think before even they got Stanton that he was going to, the Yankees were going to be, the expectations are World Series or bust at this point. I mean, they're one game away. I mean, I still think that Houston's going to be the favorite next year, but you go into the season with Stanton. Now, obviously, you're another player better ready to go, but the expectations are there. I think that Boone got just another piece of cake added to his plate because the guy inherited a ridiculous young team already, and now you're getting the National League home run champion and MVP. So it doesn't get much better. Like, it's good to be Aaron Boone right now. It's really good to be Aaron Boone. The guy is freaking has like an awesome life with a family, with a great family. He married a freaking playboy playmate. He's the manager of the New York Yankees on an already ridiculous team. Then he gets Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, literally, who's better to be right now than Aaron Boone? Not many people.
The Yankees, don't you agree last year, 2017, around baseball, they were liked? Maybe not in Boston, not for Mets fans, AL East fans, the Yankees in general were a liked team last year.
Yeah, because they were having fun and they were young. They weren't
right. Exactly.
They weren't a group of hired assassins.
Exactly. That's no longer the case.
But now we've got the biggest assassin.
Yeah, you bring in that gigantic human Giancarlo Stanton to go with the gigantic human Aaron Judge. It's no longer the lovable underdog Yankees. These guys are menacing. No one's going to like the Yankees anymore, and that's exactly how we want it to be.
Yeah, and you know, that was going to happen, I think, anyway. This just moves it a little...
Accelerated
the pace, exactly. Because as they got good, they weren't rookies any longer after last year, and you know, they're going to start getting good, and they're going to get... Aaron Judge will probably talk a little bit more. He's not going to be as reserved as he was his rookie year, most likely. But yeah, they're going to be hated around the league. That's fine. Good.
Judge tweeted out the clip from Step Brothers to Stanton, did we just become best friends? And I also got a little tear in my eye because that was Castro and Didi's thing. And now that Castro's gone, I guess the new best friends are Stanton and Judge.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a... It was a great tweet, a little sad because of Starling Castro and Didi. They had such a little bromance going, and now that's over.
Yes, because we had talked yesterday about, is Judge going to be like he's overshadowed? So far, if we want to call it so far, on Twitter, he's handling it well.
He had to do something like that. Well, I'm surprised he actually did it that early, to tell you the truth. Because
Yankees it was officially announced, yeah.
Well, yeah, the Yankees haven't said anything. The Yankees really haven't tweeted anything, I think, since Friday.
Fine. They could be best friends even if he's still on the Marlins or if he goes to the Dodgers or whatever, like or anything like that.
Right. That's exactly what it meant. But so that just leads me to believe even more that this deal was so freaking done on Friday.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Boone press conference. So it was announced that his contract is for 3 years with an option for the fourth year with a total of $4 million. So Yankees are saving a little bit of cash on their manager this year, even though they're spending more of it on the field. Some takeaways from the Boone press conference. He said that especially during the playoffs, the game started calling to him again, and that's why he really wanted to get back involved. And he said that it just worked out that he's going to be managing, but he wanted to do something more than just calling games from the booth because he just felt that pull.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that he was looking for something more, you know, like you could tell. First of all, when you're looking at him talking about what he's, you know, the new job coming up, it just, you can see the conviction in his eyes. You can see the way he talks. He's like dead serious, like ready to go. He was almost like super amped up. And I don't know, that fired me up because I could tell that he was really excited to just get in the weeds and start going and really start working hard and excited, so excited for this job. So it's very obvious that he wanted something more, that he wasn't getting everything he needed from being in the booth. And he's a baseball guy. He grew up a baseball guy. His whole family are baseball people. Like, this is what it's in his blood, basically.
We heard that so many times. Everyone was talking about that, from Steinbrenner to Cashman to Lon Tross to Randy Levine. Everyone was talking about how he's a baseball guy from a baseball family.
Well, and it's true. I mean, that you live and breathe baseball.
But that's all they were saying about him.
But that's
because you can't say, because he has no experience. So that's sort of the experience they were falling back on, is the fact that he is a baseball man.
It's true. He was Mr. Baseball.
He's Mr. Baseball
in America. But the fact that his dad also has some managerial experience too, you know, they're having a ton of conversations about that. He's going to have him as a, first of all, I think, who asked it? Michael Kay? Somebody asked in the, after the press conference when they're interviewing, if he's considering his father for a coaching staff job. Come on. Like, please.
Wait, has there ever been a father-son manager? Has there ever been that?
I don't think so. I know Griffey and Griffey played together on the Mariners at one point.
Hit a home run in the same inning.
Yeah. So I don't know if there has been a manager coach duo of father son. There might, maybe a Ripken, maybe a, I don't know if Cal Ripken Sr. was there when Billy Ripken was in it. Maybe, I don't know. I'm totally pulling stuff out of my ass at this point, but you know, it was a dumb question. But the fact that he does have that, he does have that, that to lean on. He's got his dad who was in the bigs as a coach, as a player. There's a lot of knowledge within the Boone family to lean on.
The experience was asked by a lot of the reporters in that press conference. I believe Hoke asked, is it important for your bench coach guy to have a lot of experience? And Boone said no. He just wants smart people in the room. He doesn't necessarily require experience for that job.
Yeah, and that's, you know, he's going on his, if he's qualified to be the manager, then why does the coaching staff have to have a qualification that he doesn't have? I don't think he would answer that question in any other way. I don't think he's going to say, yeah, I have to have this because I'm lacking it. That to me would say, I don't have confidence in myself. Like, no, he's going to go and who he thinks is the best, who's the smart guy out there and who will work well with him and kind of, and have that clubhouse rapport the way he wants it. That's all going to be very important. So there's, I don't think, and to me, honestly, when they're asking him that question and he's giving you that answer also, I feel like he's already got people in mind. He's already said they've started the process of interviewing and looking at coaching staff. So, you know, he's got people in mind, and I guarantee he's got someone circled for his bench coach.
Although that's what we thought about Brian Cashman, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't the case. I still don't believe that. I still believe, because there was something actually said during this whole process too, was that there was, when I forget even who was talking about it, but they were saying that a lot of people, when Cashman was going through this process, or even before, could have been before, mentioned Boone's name and said that they should interview him. I don't know when that was actually happening, but apparently a lot of people were going up to him and saying that. So
after the season, I heard that exact same.
I don't know if it was after the season. There was no timeline ever associated with that. It could have happened before.
But Cashman, the way he phrased it was that he didn't start thinking about a manager until after he made the decision to not bring Joe Girardi back.
Yeah, it did sound like he was saying that. But I have a feeling that Aaron Boone.
So is he blowing smoke up everyone's ass? Is he just sparing Girardi's public persona for that? I don't know.
Well, he could also just be hiding his ways. He's a freaking ninja wizard. You know, why would you tell everybody what you do and how you do it?
It has been a remarkable run for Cashman, hasn't it? Since the trade deadline 2016, think about what this team has done since that July 31st day in 2016 to now. That's 18 months. Just a total, complete overhaul of the entire organization from laughingstock irrelevance, not irrelevance because the Yankees will never be irrelevant, but kind of like a joke, like, oh, the Yankees are going to suck for a couple years.
Their future was irrelevant. Their future was very much in doubt. Yeah.
And we had a couple of prospects like Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, but they were so unknown and no one had confidence in the pro. That was the biggest thing. No one had confidence in Yankee prospects because no one had hit in a long ass time.
That was one of the big problems. Literally, Ref Steiner was one of the top prospects at one point and he was coming up. We're all like, yes. That's why I got so pumped up about Ref Steiner, because he was the guy. He was like, I needed him to be good.
Yeah, he was scoring the ball up in AAA. Yeah. That was more than we could say about a lot of players.
I got emotionally invested in that. I got a little too deep, got emotionally invested because I needed a guy.
You took it a little too far. You stalked him. You stalked him hard.
I needed a guy to come up from the system to be that next guy. I was yearning for it. I needed it. I absolutely needed it. And It eventually happened, not him, but it eventually happened with other guys. But yeah, the overhaul that he did, I mean, the Yankees were in such a point where they had horrible contracts. Everybody was old. Their skills were deteriorating. We had random ass people on the team. Vernon Wells, freaking Brian Roberts, like just a bunch of Kevin Youkilis was on this goddamn team in the last 5 years. Like there's just random heads that were on this team that did not belong on this team. And then all of a sudden, blink of a freaking snap your fingers and Brian Cashman turns like five people into gold. Like just, it's unbelievable what he did.
Couple of other takeaways I had from the Boone press conference. One was that he said that he's not a guy that's going to chase wins every day. And I immediately thought of Girardi and how burnout factor with Girardi was one of the biggest criticisms he had that people had on him. And also the fact that Boone said his biggest impact will be in the clubhouse, mentoring the young kids, making sure that they're a cohesive unit. And he actually mentioned Gary Sanchez by name. And I thought that might be another shot at Joe Girardi.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of talk, too, about how maybe Girardi was not as hard on Sanchez, which was a little confusing for me because to me, I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, this is a guy, maybe he needs to not be hard on him, but just almost take him under his wing. It was such a perfect situation as a catcher that the guy was having issues as a catcher. It seemed like they could have had a very good relationship, and it sounds like it never really came to fruition, but... one of the big things that Boone kept talking about was having a chance to impact young players. He kept mentioning that over and over again. And, you know, he obviously sees that these guys have a ton of potential, that there's a very, very bright future in front of them. And he thinks that he's the guy who can get the most out of them. And to me, that's one of the biggest skills and needs of a manager is for a manager to get the ability and to get the most out of each individual player, because each individual player is a unique person and they flourish in different ways. And for a guy to know how to do that is a very unique skill. And I think Boone does have that skill.
One guy that had that skill in the minor leagues was Al Padrique. So I thought maybe even though Padrique was not considered for the managerial job, maybe they would interview him for the bench coaching job because he has that actual managing experience and experience with all these young kids on the team. But he took a job in Oakland for their first base coach. And I actually do consider that a loss for the organization. People might poo-poo that, saying, well, you're losing a AAA manager who really gives a crap. But he did really well with those kids.
No, he did do really well. And I was really surprised that they didn't give him, one, a look for manager, even if he wasn't considered. That, you know, if Cashman were to have brought him in and say, we're going different directions for manager, but we want to keep you in the organization. You're an important asset in this organization. You've done a lot of really good work with these kids. You could be an asset on the major league level. Like, I don't know why that he took a first base coaching job. He didn't take a bench coach job. He took a job coaching first base.
Is that better than coaching?
No, first base coach goes into a goddamn thing. They take the freaking batting gloves and they smack a guy in the ass and say, good eye. Like, right. That's what they do.
You're in the majors.
You're in the majors. There's really just, I don't.
Okay, that's a big difference.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, my point is that like they couldn't find a job like that. Like even if it wasn't first or third base, like some kind of a job in the major leagues or somewhere in the system to say, like, we want to keep you around. I don't know. I feel like they're losing a guy like that. It would have been a good addition to the coaching staff even.
So the fact that he's going out to Oakland to be the first base coach kind of might lend some credence to the fact that maybe he's upset at the Yankees and holds a little bit of a grudge. I saw that on Twitter from somebody, some reporter saying that Padrique was a little upset that he was not even considered for the manager job. And then he's going to Oakland. Obviously, Billy Bean and Brian Cashman have this gigantic rivalry. So that's maybe why he's sticking it to Brian Cashman.
Yeah. Billy Bean really got one there. He got a first base coach.
Brian Cashman gets Sonny Gray.
Hall of Fame.
Cashman gets Sonny Gray. Bean gets Padrique.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to put that one right on his resume. There's two guys that...
That's in Moneyball, too.
Yeah, two guys got slighted by the Yankees. Rob Thompson and Al Padrique. And both of them left. And obviously, there was a narrative within the organization that they were going to change a lot of different things. A lot of the people that were the voices that were talking to these guys were going to change. Like that's very clear. So they obviously knew that if Thompson didn't get the job, he was gone. And I personally don't think Thompson really had a shot at this job. I've thought that the whole time. And then Padrique obviously thought the same thing. If he's not going to get a nod for it, he didn't want to stay in AAA. If he can go to the majors, maybe he thinks that he's got a a clearer path to manager if he goes to another team and can do well there. Bob Melvin's not safe, right?
You take a job in the majors over even over a manager job in Scranton, especially when they're the team, the major league team in your system just hired a new manager.
Right, you're blocked. There's nowhere for you to go. Where you go to Oakland and you open some eyes, and maybe you get a shot there at some point.
It's the same thing if you're a shortstop prospect and then your team signs the top shortstop free agent. You're like, well, shit.
Yeah, or an outfield.
No, there's multiple outfield spots.
Well, not when you're the fourth or fifth outfielder, then it becomes a problem.
Also, it was announced that Cashman, the Yankees, reached a deal for 5 years, $25 million. So he gets a bump as well, a pay raise from Cashman. It's his team. We've been saying this for a long time. It's Cashman's team. More proof. All right, let's get into some mailbag questions. We've had a couple that have come in over the last few weeks, and we've just been too busy with all this news to get to. The first one, though, is about the Ohtani news, and it's from Rob Rosine. With Ohtani gone, I think most agree CC becomes almost an essential signing. If Cashman fails to get him back in pinstripes, what starting pitcher should the Yankees go after? The main ones that come to mind are Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb, Yu Darvish, and Lance Lynn. Some news also that George King tweeted on Sunday night before we started recording is that the Angels and CC Sabathia have started some discussions. And now you were kind of like, well, it's the winter meetings. So what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the agents are all there, so they're all talking to everybody. So the fact that, you know, he's talking to his agent is talking to one of the guys from the Anaheim Angels, whatever. I mean, I think they're probably all going to have a bunch of conversations, and it could be leverage. It could be something leaked out by his agent saying, let's go, Yankees, hurry up. There could be a number of things happening. So I don't take much into that at this point. Hopefully that still can happen. But, you know, maybe the Yankees are like, well, we kind of got really lucky with CC this last year. Maybe we don't roll the dice again with him. Maybe we go somewhere else where we can get someone for a similar contract. There are some guys out there that might have a similar contract that maybe they think they can get a little bit more out of, or that's a little bit more of a safer bet to get 150 to 200 innings.
Right, but those guys are not Arrieta or Darvish because they're going to get too much money.
Right, right. And even Alex Cobb, I think, is going to be probably out of their price range.
Well, he's definitely going to be more expensive as far as length of contract goes, but I saw MLB trade rumors saying that his contract will, they're guessing, between 12 and 14 million a year, which is exactly what we thought CC would be.
Yeah, that's for, you're adding that on, if it's like a 3-year deal, you're looking at that as more of a long-term thing as well. Whereas
it's a long-term commitment, but as far as getting under the tax threshold, if all the Yankees care about is getting under the 197 number, well, who cares if it's $14 million to Cobb or $14 million to CeCe?
That's true for this 1 year. That's definitely true. The only thing I could think of is that, you know, they're banking on after 2018 that they have some guys in the minor leagues that will come up and fill that fifth spot. That's kind of my mentality for that. They don't want to have a guy. They're looking for a 1 year guy is what I think they're looking for. And CC just fits the bill so nicely. Lance Lynn's another name I think that could potentially be thrown around, probably for around the same money as Alex Cobb. I would assume he's had a couple good, you know, he had some good years in St. Louis. He had some down years. I think he was injured for a while. I don't really know too much about
Tommy John surgery in 2016, but he pitched 186 innings last year, which is pretty good coming off Tommy John.
And that's really what you're looking for as a number five starter. You're looking for a guy that can go in there and throw some innings. Like, you're not looking for the greatest thing in the world. I mean, obviously you want a guy that's better than the next guy, but as a fifth starter, I think one of the biggest things is keeping your team in the game, throwing innings and saving bullpen if you can. That's like primary job for a fifth starter.
Well, I think it comes back to, does Brian Cashman think that he can get as much out of someone in his organization like Chad Green or Chance Adams or some other name we don't know that's on Cashman's radar versus going out on the free agent market and spending $14 million for a fifth starter?
Yeah, and the other consideration is that because the winter meetings just started and there's going to be, I'm sure, plenty of discussions about the prospects that are still in the system, especially the outfield prospects now. With Cashman talking about starting pitching, he's going to look at that. He's going to go out and have conversations with people about starting pitching. He's going to have conversations about Headley, Ellsbury, Frazier, name it, like Floreal maybe. There's going to be conversations about all these guys and what he can get from them. Cashman, the one thing he does is he unturns every single rock, make sure he knows what the market is and what he can get for each one of his players.
So at the beginning of this podcast, you said that you don't really care about the Stanton money because it's not like it's going to prevent the Yankees from going out and making financial signings. Right. But what if this year the Yankees decide, because we just added all that money from Stanton, we can't sign a number five starter to $10, $12, $15 million?
I really don't. I think that they could still dip into the minor leagues. I don't think that's a thing, though. I think that because of the Stanton, it doesn't really affect it as much, like you said.
But it still affects the number. It's just the numbers for 2018 are the most important.
It doesn't really affect the number
right
that much, though. That's the thing. It doesn't affect the number that much. I mean, the way that they got the deal with that $30 million, they can still add that fifth starter for the like around $10 million and still make it under that luxury tax. They have to shed some things. And I just think Cashman will figure that out. And I think adding a pitcher is still in the mix of what he needs to do.
Yeah, we're speculating. Let's see if they actually do.
I mean, it's Cashman. He's going to do it. Of course he's going to do it.
In Cashman we trust.
Yes. I mean, there's if anybody has any doubt in Brian Cashman right now, you're an absolute fool because he's been a genius. Literally.
Ooh.
A freaking genius.
I don't think so. I hate this. I hate not being able to question a GM just because he's been he's where he's gotten the team. You can still question the moves that he's making.
I can, but I don't because I think they're very good. I think he's done a freaking ridiculous job. I can question him as they come up, but I have so much confidence in him because of his history and track record, what he's done in the past two years, that I just have a lot of confidence that he's going to do the right thing now. I mean, they're going to get under the tax threshold. That's first and foremost, that's why this deal was made. If this deal had come about and they couldn't get under that tax threshold, I'm not sure the deal gets done. That was essential to me. I think that was one of the biggest points of contention, that they had to have that $30 million. They had to get under the tax, the luxury tax threshold, so that they can clear it and they're not penalized anymore. I think that was huge. So I think that's very, 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 very much still part of the plan.
Yeah. The next question is from Mike, and he says, did Ohtani just overtake Zach Greinke as the softest player in Major League Baseball? What are some other babies that have been too scared of the bright lights and big market to come to New York? And obviously, Ohtani signs with Anaheim Angels, comes out of nowhere, and goes to Anaheim. I was actually pretty surprised about that because the Mariners were the team that everyone thought he was going to go to.
Yeah, apparently what it came down to was that relationship with Billy Epler, which is another Yankee connection. But Billy Epler had scouted while he was with the Yankees, had scouted Ohtani when he was in high school and had stayed with him, apparently. And I guess they have a very good relationship because Billy Epler was talking about how emotional he was. It was one of the greatest days of his professional career when Ohtani signed with them. So there's some connection there that not many people knew about. And maybe Cashman knew about it. But there was a connection there and made him feel comfortable going to Anaheim.
So I tweeted out at Yankees podcast, who are some names that come to mind that just could not handle New York? We got some really good suggestions. The number one, though, is Carl Pavano. Just the absolute douchebaggery of Carl Pavano will never be topped.
Well, and the injuries, the way that he got injured with the ridiculous, I don't even remember what the hell they were exactly. They were like routine dumb things. Didn't he pull like an ass muscle? He pulled an ass muscle. It was something like that. It was something ridiculous. His injuries were unbelievable.
And a lot of people thought he was faking injuries towards the end.
Yeah, and he got a stupid amount of money. It was just such a horrible
It was so, that was another thing, is that I think he signed for like $39.5 million. And then when he found out it wasn't a full $40 million contract, it pissed him off.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you what pissed me off was that when people were making Pavano comparisons with Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi is twice the man Carl Pavano will ever be.
Looks wise.
Whatever.
They look the same.
Fine. Don't compare them. They're not the same.
Javier Vasquez could not handle New York twice.
No, he could not. That was a guy that didn't want to deal with he just didn't want to deal with it.
But that was a player that Brian Cashman, for whatever reason, just absolutely loved.
Yeah, because he had some kind of a comfort level with him, and he brought him back a second time to see if that worked, and the Javi Vasquez experience didn't work the second time. It just didn't work very well.
People were also saying Cliff Lee because he did not sign with the Yankees, but do you remember the whole incident where Yankee fans were like throwing stuff at his wife?
No, I don't remember that whole thing.
Yeah, it was when he was with, I believe, Philly. Philly, and they were at Yankee Stadium pitching, and his family was in the crowd, and Yankee fans were harassing his family. And that was reportedly one of the big reasons why he did not want to come to New York when he was a free agent.
Yeah, that's coming from the Philly side, that's surprising. They're the ones that would throw batteries at Santa Claus.
Quickly, some other suggestions that we got were Jeff Weaver, Hideki Arabu, Ed Whitston, which was from the 80s. I actually had to look that story up. It's pretty interesting. Adrian Gonzalez in Boston, David Price, obviously, and Panda Pablo Sandoval has not been able to handle Boston. So I don't know. I don't want to call Ohtani soft. I know you did call Ohtani soft. I think he was just looking for the best fit where he could do both hitting and pitching.
I think he's a little bitch. I think he's soft, and he didn't want to compete in a big market, have a lot of pressure. And yeah, I think he's soft, and we're going to be seeing him coming to Yankee Stadium. Hopefully he's pitching and we can light him up because now he's got to go through Murderer's Row.
But here's the thing though. When he went to the Angels, signed with the Angels, I immediately went to the Yankees calendar and figured out when Anaheim was coming to the stadium because I want to see this guy play.
Yeah. I want to see him play too. I want to see him get lit up. And by the way, one of those games is one of the outings that we will be having next year.
And
that Saturday game.
Let's just hope he is either playing the field or pitching that day, like you said.
And by the way, guys, and real quick, by the way, Carl Pravano, 2006, was out with a spring training game, bruised buttocks, and ended up missing the entire season over a bunch of number of small injuries. And then he had a freak accident shoveling snow and lacerated his spleen.
And then didn't he start opening day for the Yankees in 2007?
He did it once. Yes, he did. I don't know if it was 2007.
That's just quite the resume there for Carl Pavano in the Bronx.
Yeah, it was 2007. What a joke that was.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for the mailbag questions, and thank you for listening or watching the Facebook Live. As Scott and I mentioned, we're going to be doing that a lot more. Give this podcast a rating and review in iTunes. Give it 5 stars. We're almost at 700. Make it make us at 700 with all this news. The podcast is going to be very visible on iTunes, and you guys giving it a rating and review makes it even more visible, and it helps us out immensely. If you want to submit mailbag questions, go to bronxpinstripes.com/podcast, and you can call the voicemail line, 646-480-0342. I believe we have some voicemails for Stanton. Is that right?
We do. We have a whole bunch of people that called in. It was some people that are pumped up. I haven't actually listened to them, but I know the phone was ringing off the hook. So there's a solid like 10 to 15, maybe even more than that.
Nice. All right. Any last words before we get out of here?
Big day, you know, big day. We got freaking Mike Stanton coming. Mike Stanton is coming back to New York. Giancarlo Stanton coming to New York. The lineup is stupid. It's legitimately dumb. It's unbelievable. Everybody should be pumped up. If you have any negative feeling towards it, get rid of that negative feeling and be excited.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Maybe the Yankees will go out and trade for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado and everyone else in the major leagues, because that just seems like what they're doing at this point. Have a good week, everybody.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Guys, Travis out here in Dallas, long time listener, first time caller. I'm just, you know, ecstatic about signing Giancarlo Stanton. You know, it's going to be a great time. And also what I just love is that Twitter is melting down right now because everyone's pissed off that the Yankees went and did this. This is what the Yankees do. The Yankees win championships, and people are mad that we went and got the best players about some backroom deal. You know, it's just what being the greatest baseball team ever, doing the greatest baseball team things, and everyone just wants to wish that they're like the Yankees. And I just think it's hilarious how Bart of KFC is melting down on Twitter today. And I just thought, it's my birthday, Yankees signed Giancarlo Stanton. What could be better? Mets fans pissed off. It's just a great day to be a Yankees fan. Honestly, what would have been better was a World Series, but this is pretty good in my book. So, you know, I'm ready for the Boone era. Let's go, Yankees.
Hey, I just want to make a side note. With Stanton now and you got Judge, And assuming that Bird stays healthy, along with Sanchez, we have four guys with 40-plus home runs. That's not even hard to believe it's possible with these guys. You know, this is insane. And I'll take a line from our British folks. Pandemonium.
We got big Stanton, motherfucker! What an amazing move by Cashman. Strikes again. Getting Stanton and $30 million for Castro, Devers, and Guzman, two minor leaguers. It's really an amazing deal. I know that the Marlins were in a desperate situation to cut payroll and get debt-free. And the Yankees were able to take advantage of it. I think it's a phenomenal deal. And really, this is a sign of the Yankees really going to the World Series. It's unbelievable. Thank you, Yankees. What a day.
What up, Yankee fans? Just woke up. I'm hungover as shit. I don't know where my car is. I don't know about how I got home last night, but all I know is we got motherfucking Giancarlo Stanton. Woo!
Wow, unfucking believable. What a time to be a New York fucking Yankees fan. You know, I could go on and on with the whole Stanton thing, but man, the thing is, Greg Bird's gonna have an unbelievable year. He's gonna see the pitches he wants to see. Everyone's gonna ignore him. He's gonna hit about 315, maybe 25, 30 home runs if he stays healthy. Watch him to be a big year and have some impact. It's unbelievable. I'm so excited. I can barely even speak English. Have a great day, guys.
The evil empire is back. My old day Yankee heart is happy again. Bring on Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, and Terry Sanchez. Let's go!
Yo, puñeta! Hey, this is Don Sicario, papi. What a time to be a fucking Yankee. Stanton, you expensive motherfucker. You better put work. We're gonna be coming on you, bitch ass. Let's see them fucking balls fly out of the stadium. Anybody hating? Fucking eat a dick. No other word. I'm ready for this season. Let's go!
Prepare to witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational battle station.
Three words. Holy fucking shit.
Zach calling from Utah. Christmas came 16 days early this year. Derek Jeter's the GOAT. Super Smash Brothers, Bronx Bombers, Murderers, bro. 2018 World Series Championship. I think yes. Let's go Yanks.
My God, I am stoked. I am ecstatic. I cannot believe the fact that we have two of the arguably best power hitters in all baseball right now on the same team. Wow. I'm telling you guys, prophecy, call what you want, but we are getting championships in the Bronx. Cannot wait. I will be so happy. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Andrew from Hell's Kitchen. Holy shit. Last year we did not get as far as we wanted to, so what does Cashman do? He gets a stand for basically nothing. We are still under the luxury tax. We still have prospects. We can still salary dump. Everything is good. Now let's get some pitching, babe.
I said in August at the Sunny Gray, and I'll say it again, Brian Cashman is a Hall of Famer. Took us from a rebuild to now World Series contenders. Let's go, Yankees!
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again guys for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.